Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you to join us as we face the issues. Let me remind you, our broadcast is designed around you, our listener. It's a Q&A session. We invite you to call in, give your dialogue and discussion, allow us to have dialogue and discussion with you on the issue of today. Today, we're talking about killing our children, Roe versus Wade, being considered by the U.S. Supreme Court today. Oral arguments are taking place as we speak. I have several of those responses and questions by the justices on the Supreme Court, asking the lawyers involved with the arguments and the debate on both sides of the issue. It's perhaps one of the most important issues to be settled since 1973, when Roe versus Wade was determined by the U.S. Supreme Court, giving legal right of murder by way of abortion. Planned Parenthood has built its entire industry of several hundred million dollars a year off the murder of babies in the womb. And the question has always been asked and still is debated even to this very moment in the halls of the U.S. Supreme Court. Is it constitutional? Did the U.S. Supreme Court have the right in their privilege of jurisprudence and making decisions and giving suggestions? And that's what a Supreme Court ruling is. It is simply a suggestion. Did they have the right, the authority, based on the Constitution of the United States of America, to give the authorization of murder by way of abortion in America? That's the question. That's the issue. That's the dialogue. That's the discussion that we'll have today. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone so that we can entertain your question, your comment. Love to hear from you. Do you believe that the Supreme Court should overturn Roe versus Wade? Do you believe that this case that is before them, there's actually a compilation of about two or three cases that's before them, all having the same focus and the same determination that should be decided? Do you believe the Supreme Court's going to decide to overturn Roe versus Wade? Or do you believe that that is right, that is the proper thing to do? Or do you believe they'll simply leave it as it is, leave it as it stands, where it's murdered approximately 70 million babies in the womb since Roe versus Wade, 1973 decision of the U.S. Supreme Court? Ladies and gentlemen, as we deal with the issues today and each and every day on this broadcast, Let's Face the Issues, we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. It's the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word. I call it the truth book. It is the book of truth. Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. That's a statement Jesus made to his disciples in John 8:31-32. And then the Lord Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. And then he points to the Word of God, and he says in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the Word of God that we ought to adhere to. And in this dialogue and discussion today, I don't think there's any place in, what would you say, the annals of jurisprudence where the statement about truth coming from the Word of God is any more apropos than the decision that will be made in the oral arguments today. I don't know when they'll give the ultimate decision. Oral arguments are today, and I believe there's some of the things that's being asked, and I've got a list of some of the dialogue and discussions as of 10:30 today, some of the dialogue and discussions by the justices asking the lawyers involved, but it's truth that we ought to seek. It was the secularist George Orwell back many years ago and writing the dystopian novel 1984, in 1947, 48, 49, in the process of writing that, part of what George Orwell said was, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. And that's exactly what we see happening today, ladies and gentlemen. Some of the discussions that I've already read taking place in the Supreme Court. There are many, many, many things that's being said that's absolutely not germane whatsoever to the question at hand. And the question at hand is, does a mother have the right to murder the baby in her womb? Is that the right of a human being? Can the Supreme Court overrule the Word of God? Can the Supreme Court make a decision, pass a decision, a suggestion, opinion is what it's called, the opinion of the Supreme Court. Can they pass an opinion that overrules, overrides, and absolutely sets at naught the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God? It's truth that we ought to look at today and each and every day. It's the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that made the statement, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, and live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. And I believe that's where we ought to stand today. I understand that my position on abortion being murder, it is legalized murder, and it is pervading the church just as it does in the secular society today. And I believe we ought to go back to what does the Word of God say. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment for the professional as well as for the homeowner. They have a professional staff that can answer your questions about lawn care equipment for the professional as well as for the homeowner also. Tools for Time is located, ladies and gentlemen, at 11291. That's 11291 Old San Augustine, 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. There's a benchmark there. Gigantic 135-foot flagpole, I believe is the dimensions, 135, 165-foot flagpole. At the base of that flagpole where Old Glory is flowing 24-7, find the home of Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. In just a moment, we're going to introduce our very special guest for the first portion of our broadcast today. We're talking about a very serious matter, a very serious question. And as I ponder the events of today, especially the oral arguments at the Supreme Court about abortion, I'm so thankful that abortion was not allowed in the day of Jesus. Can you think, ladies and gentlemen, if abortion had been allowed in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, little Mary, his mother, 13 to 18 years old, as we understand it from the historians, in that young teenage years, unmarried, found to be with child, according to the scripture. Even Joseph, her husband, according to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and following, was concerned about whether or not he should just set her aside, put her aside, i.e. divorce her, because they were not married at the time. The union had not taken place. But it was the same as marriage under Jewish custom that they were betrothed to one another. And she was found to be with child. Joseph was concerned. He was anxious. He was agitated. And he wondered about it. And the angel of the Lord spoke to him and said, that which is taking place with Mary, and I'm paraphrasing, that which was taking place in Mary was of the Holy Spirit of God. And he will be born, and his name shall be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Ladies and gentlemen, had abortion been legal, had the Supreme Court ruled in that day, thank God they didn't, but had the Supreme Court, the Sanhedrin, if you please, had they ruled that abortion was legal, perhaps the mothers in that town would have counseled young Mary to let's go down to the Planned Parenthood office and let them murder your child. Perhaps that would have been the case. But ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful, eternally thankful to God himself that that was not the possibility in that day. But ladies and gentlemen, since the Roe versus Wade decision in 1973, some have said 60 million, some have said 75 million. I've just split the difference. Approximately 73 million human beings, babies in the womb, have been murdered since Roe versus Wade. And that, I believe, was a decision that the Supreme Court never should have made. I believe it was totally without any question or contradiction. It was totally unconstitutional. But as a result of that, we found abortion reaching over into the doorways of the churches. We found abortion being taught in the schools from grammar school through high school, college, and university, and the Planned Parenthood literature under the guise of sex education, grooming our boys and girls in school to have illicit premature sex, and as a result of that, producing a child in the womb, and then Planned Parenthood murdering that child. And by the way, Planned Parenthood was designed by Margaret Sanger, as a eugenics program to destroy, as she called it, the Negro race. That was the purpose. That's the plan. And you can check me out, determine whether I'm right or not. But every Planned Parenthood organizational setup, every abortuary clinic is in mostly the black community or the Hispanic community. And the statistics say that 53% of the abortions nationwide today are either the black population or the Hispanic population, because that is carrying out Margaret Sanger's ultimate goal of eugenics and destroying what she considered an inferior race of people. So we are watching today the potentiality of that being terminated, that being turned around and totally changed. We have with us today, and I'm thankful that Mike Hill, Mike is the former congressman for District 1 in the state of Florida in the House of Representatives. We need to put him back in the House someplace, or in the Senate, ladies and gentlemen. I've been harping on that for some time for him now. And of course, I realize he's waiting on God to open a door and give the direction in it. But I'm delighted that he's going to take the next several minutes with us to discuss some of these events and some of the things and what's important about it. Congressman, thank you for joining us today in an impromptu moment. In fact, I will admit to our audience, I had something else planned, but I determined that this is the most important thing on the agenda for us to talk about today because of the oral arguments with the U.S. Supreme Court. But thank you for taking your time and discussing this with us today. Congressman Hill, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me, Dr. Youngblood?
I can hear you. Yes. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me on the show. It's always a pleasure to be on the show. And I agree with you that this is a very important decision that's going to be made today. And I will go on to state, Dr. Youngblood, that Roe v. Wade decision, as you say, was a horrific decision. I believe it was satanic in origin. And the case never should have even come to the Supreme Court. It was not something that they had the jurisdiction over. And it came down with a horrible decision, resulting in millions, tens of millions of deaths to babies in the womb, murdered in the womb, young boys and young girls. Their innocent blood is crying out to a righteous God who will hear those cries. And what I'm hoping for, as you stated, is that the Supreme Court can make a decision that will overturn Roe v. Wade. Having said that, Dr. Youngblood, even if they do make the right decision, and I hope and pray that they do, because you can't depend on that Supreme Court to always make the right decision.
Right.
But even if they do make the right decision, that will not stop abortion. It will not stop abortion. It will still continue to happen. It will curtail it quite a bit. But people have been aborting their babies since history has been recorded. There have always been abortions. There probably always will be. It just won't be sanctioned by law, given legal authority to murder a baby in the womb.
Yes, Congressman, let me just put that thought on pause for just a moment. Let's drill a little deeper for the benefit of our listening audience today. The U.S. Supreme Court constitutionally had no right, no authority to make a ruling on that subject of abortion. Am I right or wrong? Is that state rights or is that federal rights that they have overruled by ruling in 1973?
You're absolutely right. They had no authority to even take up the case. That is a state's rights issue. I'll go even further, Dr. Youngblood. I don't believe that they have the constitutional right to even take up this case now out of Texas. This is a state's rights issue. Texas has passed a law essentially stopping abortion once a heartbeat has been detected and allowing their citizens to sue those who perform that murder once that heartbeat is detected. That is a state issue. The Supreme Court initially said that they would not take up the case. That was the right decision. But now, through some legal maneuvering, they have decided to take up the issue and make this decision. I'm hoping and praying that when President Trump was able to get conservative justices on the bench that they will make the right decision, but there's no guarantee, because we saw not too long ago where Judge Gorsuch took the side with the leftists on the court and said that marriage between a man, between two men, is legal and utter nonsense. And so even when everyone knows what the correct decision should be, there's no guarantee we're going to get it from this Supreme Court or any Supreme Court. You look back through history, most of the time they get their decisions wrong.
Absolutely. And one of the things that you touched on, what they've done is, I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong on that, they've taken the Texas case, they've taken a case out of Mississippi and another case, and I cannot rightly recall that now, but they've taken three different cases that the courts have, Supreme Court's jumped into the ruling, or appeals court, federal appeals court judges have jumped in and ruled against it, barring them from instituting the laws that they passed in Mississippi and Texas and in one other state and one other case. So they've taken those three now and they've rolled them together, as I would use the term, maybe not the right term in jurisprudence, but they've taken them together to make the determination on how they should rule on it. And as you said a moment ago, and it's so spot on as you use the term, and it's correct, they should have never taken the case in 1973. This case should not have been blocked by a federal judge because it's states' rights. The states have the right. In fact, as you so aptly said, that even if they rule against Roe versus Wade, it will not stop abortion in America. It will curtail, in my opinion, the federal government funding Planned Parenthood with several hundred million dollars a year. I believe something $750 million a year goes in the coffers of Planned Parenthood out of the taxpayers' pockets to murder babies in the womb. So hopefully that will stop some of that aggravating circumstances if they rule against Roe versus Wade in this decision. Congressman, I've got the update from 10:30 this morning as far as the questions and the comments. Let me just read a couple of them for you and ask your opinion and your thoughts on it. One of the counselors said, abortion is critical to women's equal participation in society. The Center for Reproductive Rights lawyer Julie Reifelman said Wednesday at the Supreme Court oral arguments over Mississippi abortion law that abortion is critical for a woman's right to participate in society. Quote, Mississippi ban on abortion 2 months before viability is flatly unconstitutional, and the decades of precedents have settled that. Eliminating or reducing the right to abortion will propel women backward. How do you respond to that asinine statement that is made by the argument for abortion?
Utter nonsense. That is ridiculous to think that just because a woman has the privilege to be able to carry a baby in her womb, that somehow stops her from participating in society. Utter nonsense. How many women have you known, Dr. Youngblood, and I've known, who have carried a child through full birth, and they weren't denied any privileges, they were not denied any rights. Instead, they had the privilege that God has given to them to be able to carry life in their womb. What an awesome privilege and responsibility that He has given to woman, that she would carry the seed that will continue the human race. Utter nonsense from this demonic person who would state that somehow this stops women from having equal rights in our society, equal participation. They participate just as well as they always have, and there is no constitutional right anywhere in our Constitution. I have studied it thoroughly. There is no constitutional right to murder a baby in the womb.
In fact, Congressman, you're on target with that. In fact, I would challenge our listeners today, and by the way, listen for our listeners, the telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you'd like to ask me or Congressman Hill a question relative to the oral arguments that's taking place as we speak in the U.S. Supreme Court regarding Roe versus Wade and the combination of cases that's brought it to the point where they are basically, they're not calling it that, but they're rehearing, relitigating Roe versus Wade, the 1973 decision that's murdered millions and millions of babies in the womb. The telephone number is 831-0917. Love to hear from you. Do you believe that it's a right of a woman to murder that baby in the womb? Do you believe, ladies and gentlemen, that it is a constitutional right? I want somebody to call in and point out to me, even if it's an infinitesimal phrase in the Constitution, that you believe gives the right for a woman to murder the child in her womb. I want to hear from you. I want to hear also from you, ladies and gentlemen. If you believe that it's right, tell me why. If you believe that it's wrong, tell us why. I look at my Bible, and I find in Psalms 139, where the Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And in that text, in Psalms 139, it even goes into detail of the body of the baby, the fetus, the child, being formed in the embryo stage in the womb of the mother, and how we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Congressman, I've got a quote here, or question. It's from Justice Kavanaugh. Justice Kavanaugh questions the lawyer on whether the Supreme Court can prohibit abortion. This is the question. Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh asked the lawyer defending a Mississippi law restricting abortion Wednesday whether the Supreme Court can ban abortion, and the lawyer said it cannot, end quote. Quote from the lawyer, to be clear, you're not arguing that the court, this is Kavanaugh again, you're not arguing that the court somehow has the authority to itself to prohibit abortion, or that this court has the authority to order the states to prohibit abortion, as I understand it, correct? Kavanaugh asked the Solicitor General, Scott Stewart. Stewart answered, correct, Judge. Further, he says, as I understand it, you're arguing that the Constitution's silent on the subject, therefore it's neutral on the question of abortion. In other words, that the Constitution is neither pro-abortion or pro-life or pro-choice, Kavanaugh said. And Stewart also agreed with that statement. I think it shows that Kavanaugh is at least asking the right questions. What's your view or thoughts on the question that Kavanaugh asked in that realm?
Well, I think he's asking questions, but I think he's off base because he says that the Constitution does not, is neither pro-life or pro-choice. Wrong.
Absolutely.
Our Constitution is pro-life. Our Constitution is inextricably tied to our Declaration of Independence. You cannot separate the two. They go hand in glove. And we all recognize the clause in the Declaration of Independence that all men are created in the womb, equal, by our God, and have inalienable rights, God-given rights, among which are life, liberty, and property, or the pursuit of happiness. So that is part of our Constitution. The next sentence goes on to say, and government is instituted among men to secure these rights, receiving their just powers by the consent of the governed. So the reason why government exists at all is to secure our rights, our God-given rights, the first one being life. So for this brilliant judge, and I say that sarcastically, to say that our Constitution is neither pro-life or pro-abortion, he's absolutely wrong. It is pro-life. And the person who he was asking the question to should have been wise enough to correct him on that.
Absolutely. In fact, I'm looking at where you had stated about in our Declaration of Independence, it was Thomas Jefferson said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them are these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So as we find in our Declaration of Independence, codified in the Declaration and in the Constitution, it is the responsibility of government to protect life, to protect life. It's the God-given responsibility in our system of civil government today. Here's a question, Congressman. The Chief Justice Roberts, as this writer says, Chief Justice Roberts frets about the fate of other precedents if the court overturns Roe versus Wade. This is the statement and the question and the response. Chief Justice Roberts said Wednesday that he is concerned about other precedents of the Supreme Court that it will risk if the court overturns Roe versus Wade. Here's the question. Quote, there are a lot of cases around the time of Roe, not in that magnitude, but the same type of analysis that went through exactly the same sort of things we today would say were erroneous, Robert said. If we look at them, look at it from today's perspective, it's going to be a long list of cases that we're going to say were wrongly decided. Mississippi Solicitor General Scott Stewart replied that, quote, other controversial areas or once controversial areas are quite settled, clear rules, and don't have those considerations against them today. The court won't have to go down that road, he added. But here's Chief Justice Roberts setting up the straw man that if we overturn Roe versus Wade, we'll have to go back to all Supreme Court decisions, reanalyze them, and make the determination, did we rule incorrectly, and should we go back and destroy what is called stare decisis, that is simply the rule of stare decisis, as you're familiar with. It means that once the court said it, that settles it. You don't go back and revisit it. How do you view that? Does the court have the authority to go back and revisit any decision that's been made by previous Supreme Court justices? Or once it is Supreme Court decided, does that mean that forever, for eternity, that it cannot go back and revisit it? And that seems to be the question that Justice Roberts is posing in that straw man.
Well, Justice Roberts is making a ridiculous argument right there. That's insane. Of course, the Supreme Court can be wrong in their decision. And when they do, it should be corrected. And we have precedents of that happening. In fact, there was a Dred Scott decision that was overturned. The Dred Scott decision said that slaves were not considered people. They were considered property and belonged to the slave owners. That was overturned because yes. It was clearly a wrong decision. To be able to say, to give legal justification to murder an innocent baby in the womb is the wrong decision that Roe v. Wade did. It needs to be overturned. And just because you make this decision does not open a door to all other decisions that have been made. And let's say it does. Okay, Supreme Court, go to work. Let people bring before you what they thought were bad decisions previously and look at them again. You have the authority, you have the ability to even decline taking up any other cases that you think were settled properly in previously. So that is a ridiculous argument from Judge Roberts, and it shows his hand already. We know how he's going to give his opinion on this situation.
Yes, absolutely. One of the things that I find is so concerning and brings my consternation each time I talk about the Supreme Court is the fact that when a Supreme Court renders an opinion, it's an opinion. It's not law.
That's right.
We have three branches of government, and if the Supreme Court decision is settled law, then they rule, and we should have just one branch of government. That's the Supreme Court, and that is not the case. We've got the judicial branch. We've got the executive branch. We've got the legislative branch, and all three of them are set up by our founding fathers, have tension between them so that we wind up with the right choices and decisions for our nation. But the Supreme Court, and I cannot call the name of the president, but only one time in the history of the Supreme Court rendered an opinion, and the president said, well, that's your opinion. We simply don't agree with it. We're not going to follow it. And that's
that was
any
Andrew Jackson.
Andrew Jackson, that's right. Any president has that authority to simply say, that's your opinion. We're not going to accept your opinion. And that's what should have been done in 1973. And with many other decisions that's made by the courts, we've got about a minute and a half left. Here's another statement. Sotomayor. Sotomayor slams the political stench of efforts to overturn Roe versus Wade. Justice Sonia Sotomayor said Wednesday in oral arguments over Mississippi abortion law that she's concerned about a political stench that may linger if the court overturns Roe versus Wade. What do you think about that political stench? Would that be the case?
No, not at all. And if she thinks that it stinks, just hold your nose. Make the right decision.
I like that answer, Congressman. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with Congressman Mike Hill, a former legislator from District 1 in the state of Florida. We're going to come back right after the top of the hour news and continue this dialogue and discussion today on the question of murdering our children in the womb, Roe versus Wade being listened to be overturned preferably. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.